Welcome to Influential Visions. Here, we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. My name is Nathaniel Schooler, and I am your host today. We are going to talk about cybersecurity for kids and how to keep your kids safe online. And this is really important. So I'm joined by Tyler Cohen-Wood, and she's a keynote speaker, former Defense Intelligence Agency cyber deputy chief, and previously the director of cyber risk management group at AT&T. And I always struggle, so I have to cheat with my notes over there on my other screen. But you're co-hosting this, obviously, with your experience in cybersecurity. I'm quite honored to have you co-host this. And we are also joined by David Clark, who's founder of the GDPR Technology Group on LinkedIn. He's a data protection cybersecurity expert from over in the UK. And we both have experience with our kids online, and you know, it's really not easy. Really, it's crazy, right?
It's a real challenge. Absolutely,
yeah. It really is. Well, first off, thanks for having me, Nat. It's an honor to be here, and David, I'm really looking forward to chatting with you about this really important topic.
Thanks, Tyler.
So, why don't we kick it off? Just talking about how children nowadays, they're spending more and more time online, especially with COVID-19. But the bad news is that predators are also spending more time online, and they're targeting children through various social media, gaming, or other apps that may use private messaging. So what can a parent do to have a better idea of what their kids are doing online?
Yeah, and I think there's another layer on that. A lot of the gaming and social media companies have kind of reduced the staff they have on monitoring their games and the groups and the, as you say, the contact and the content and the communication. So the kind of stakes have got a lot higher. It's a tough challenge, because probably one of the biggest things is, you know, from my own kind of personal experience, how do you even restrict the amount of time a young person, child, can spend on the internet? Keeping it even at that level is really difficult. And I know from my own experience, you know, I used to set up the home routers with my son and everything, you know, 8:30, internet is cut off, yeah, and that's it, you're not allowed on it anymore. And then I used to get, well, Dad, I can't do my homework because I've got to get on the school intranet to do it, and it's due in tomorrow. So you have to grant extensions, and it goes back and forth. And eventually we came to an agreement that 8:30 would be the time. And it was really good for about a week and a half. And then I noticed he was on it 9:15. And I said, what's going on? How come you're on it at 9:15? And he goes, no, I'm not really on it. And I said, yes, you are. You're on it. I can see you're on it. And I said, okay, how did you do it? I set this router up. I spent ages kind of configuring it. How did you get past it? And he smiled at me, and he wasn't going to say. And I said, look, I'll let you stay on for the next few days, but you have to tell me how you did it. And while I'm doing this, I'm going, I know what you did. You did MAC address spoofing. And I could see his face light up. He hadn't heard of MAC address spoofing before. And I thought, I've just told him another way to get around it. So I thought, I shouldn't have said that. So eventually he goes, okay, I'll tell you. And I said, how'd you do it? He said, well, Dad, I looked it up on the internet, and I realized if you put a pin in the back of the router, you can reset it. So I thought, okay. So what I did then was, I thought, we're not going to do that again. Yeah. So I got a metal box for the router with a key and a lock, and I put the router in the key, locked up the router, because in background, yeah, I've got my wife saying to me, I don't get it. She goes, you know, this is a few years ago. Yeah. She goes, you're head of security for a large financial trading network, trading trillions of dollars a day, and you can't stop a 11-year-old kid from using the internet. And, you know, it kind of makes you feel that kind of small at home, you know, when you've got huge staff at work and actually you can't manage a 12-year-old. So eventually that sort of worked for a while, but then, as I said, I'd kind of let the cat out of the bag about MAC address spoofing, and most home routers aren't really designed to compensate for that. So eventually I did get some very sophisticated configurations to manage that. But what I found was, is I said to my son, you know what, you've got to kind of do better than this, really. You know, this is not right. Obviously I couldn't performance manage him and threaten to dock his pay and reduce his promotion, because that didn't really work with him. So I said, you've got to do some online courses, and I don't mind if you're on the internet, but you've got to do some more studying. So he said, yeah. So he picked courses, and I don't know if it was a bad day or this happens all the time. He found some courses that had a 95% discount. So they were really cheap. All of them were on ethical hacking. Wow. So he started studying these courses, and then he discovered these ways that he could disconnect me off the internet. There's easy ways to do it. You don't even have to be on the internet to do it. If you're on the same network, it takes about 3 minutes. So he's now become very sophisticated at kind of disrupting my internet connection. So I thought, I've kind of created something here. Yeah. How do you manage it? And it is difficult. So my daughters, you know, they're not quite as technical as he is. Yeah. And originally, for a long time, I used to put child-friendly spyware on their okay. computers. Mm-hmm. The trouble is with that is I then kind of found that maybe I'm kind of invading their privacy a little bit too much. You know, there's some things as a kid you probably should do. You don't really need your mum and dad to know. Right. You know, where do you draw that line? It's kind of very difficult. And of course, the other problem is you can control the home router, but what do you do when they go around friends' houses? What about their mobile phones data? Yeah. It's a difficult problem. So the conclusion I came to quite quickly was, actually, as a reasonably digital aware parent, I really have very little control. And I suspect most parents have very little control. They just hope for the best, because most systems are not designed to have that parental oversight. You know, my son, when I was looking at some games, he's almost 16 now, you know, and I say, how come you're playing this game? And, you know, he wants to play 18 games.
Yeah.
Anything below 18 is not worth him, his time and his friend's time to look at. And I said, how old are you anyway? And he goes, well, I've been 35 for the last sort of 4 years, because there's no easy way to age verify or check children's ages. So he's kind of been, you know, playing at inverted commas adult games for quite a while, and I suspect that's true of most kids. What I have noticed is that I can't mention sort of names, but you know, the ones where you can do payments online. He had a payments online account for a long time, and they wanted to verify his identity. This is about 3 years ago, yeah, and he put a picture of a shark up there, and they verified him, and his account was fine. So for quite a while, he could do sort of payments online. And eventually they caught up with him and banned his account and suspended everything. But, you know, it is difficult, because to me, you know, it was quite convenient me giving him pocket money electronically.
Yeah.
You know, he has no use for real cash. In fact, I got a telling off from him when I gave him real cash, because to him, electronic money is the best. So it is complex. I mean, one of the things I have done, and I don't think he's going to listen to this one, is that I've kind of inadvertently made sure that the Wi-Fi doesn't work too well upstairs. And so what that means is he has to play his gaming downstairs, yeah, where I can keep an eye on things a little bit.
Yeah.
And especially in these times, COVID, you know, I'm around obviously a lot more day and night. And you can pick up what's going on a lot easier. But it's a lot more difficult when kids are out and about. Because one of the things, should they have a Facebook account or a social media account when they're under 13? And I thought about that for a long time. And then I thought, you know what? If I don't help them set it up, they will set their own account out whether I'm there or not.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, they will do it around a friend's house or whatever. And then I won't have any visibility of this at all. So I kind of figured it was better for me to be on their side and help them set stuff up safely to at least point them in the right direction. I mean,
I think that's great advice. I mean, it sounds like your situation is a little bit extreme. That your child was that into cybersecurity, but I think you've hit on such an important point, because most parents, this is not, they don't, they think that learning cybersecurity to protect their kids is something that's overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. There are things that they can do, like sitting with their child and saying and going through, you know, online boundaries, what is safe to post, talking to them about passwords, and really being their ally. So I think that what you're doing is great. Do you recommend having passwords to all of their various accounts, and also to being able to check, you know, the Apple Store or Google Store to be
able to download? I mean it has changed, but I know when my children had the Xbox, and when I kind of managed their Apple Store accounts, you know, I used to get these big bills. And then they put in another layer of protection to stop that happening, to stop games being kind of bought online and vouchers being bought online. It is kind of possible to keep that, but it's, you know, after a while, what I did one time, I bought this child friendly router, and I thought, yeah, we will have information security top of the agenda at home. Everybody had their own user account. Everyone had their own ID and password. I could say for my daughters, you can't do these times, these type of sites, you can't go to gambling sites or whatever. Yeah.
Super.
And I thought, great. I've kind of cracked it. I'm like, yeah. And of course it took my son almost 2 days to figure out if he borrowed his elder sister's account, he got more privileges. Yeah. And even better, borrowed my wife's account. And of course she had the keys to the kingdom. And, you know, it's quite difficult. You know, it's not a corporate environment, and I couldn't really explain to them they're breaking the house information security policy and acceptable use policy, because
it
wasn't going down well. So although it was a great idea, this router with the password, it really did sort of work too well in reality. And of course, there's plenty of apps, you know, a lot of the TV broadcasting apps, you know, everyone has a separate account, but actually, does it really make a lot of difference? Everybody knows the child password. It's very, very difficult to kind of manage and maintain and keep peace in the household. Because what normally happened was, if somebody needs to use the internet from school, I'm traveling, I'm not at home, it's my fault they're not getting their homework done, I'm Mr. Unpopular. So suddenly, playing with the internet, you can become the outcast in the family, and there's a lot of internal pressure, you know, or why have you done all of this? So to get that balance right, I mean, another example, I saw one of my kids, they had a WhatsApp group at school, and it had loads of kids on it, and I was talking to one of my children about it, and it had a picture on the user group name. It had a man lying in the sand face down with no clothes on. So I said, hey, I'm not happy with this. I said, I better go to the school and sort it out.
Yeah.
And then I got kind of told, well, if you go to the school, all the other kids will know it's you, and they'll be the outcast at school. So do you want your kid kind of peer punished? Okay. So it was serious, but was it that serious? So it's like, where do you draw the line that this is kind of acceptable? Because obviously WhatsApp groups, for example, all the chat groups, very difficult to kind of manage unless there's some higher level way of doing it. And then I asked them, I said, how do you know on this group here that you haven't got some kind of strange person trying to talk to you and talk inappropriate things? And interestingly, the answer I got back, and this is from all three of my children, they've actually said that there's almost like an unwritten law among a lot of kids that they try to make sure they know who's on the group. And if they're not on the group, they will communally get together and just kick them out.
Right.
And I'm not saying this is true of all kids, but it seems to be that sometimes they're a bit more clued up than you give them credit for, that, you know, this is a stranger on the group. What's he doing there? He needs to be.
I believe that. I definitely believe that. And you know, I'm sure that you could also talk to your kids that if one of their friends seems someone that they think that they know, because oftentimes, I mean, predators will find out about those different groups and pretend to be somebody else or hack into a legitimate account. So, I mean, do you recommend, you know, talking to your kids about this potential and say, if one of your friends starts typing strangely, saying things that you know are very out of character for this person, you know, that should be a red flag.
I think that's pretty much all you can do. There is not a lot of else you can do, because if you look at the stats, and the stats are really worrying, and I can only speak in the UK for stats, but I'm assuming it's going to be fairly similar around the world. The kind of threat, I think, in most parents' mind is you've got some kind of weirdo in some foreign country trying to communicate, you know, with children. And actually, the bigger cases are peer-to-peer and family members. That counts for almost 80%. So 20% is our worst fear, but a lot of the predatory activity happens peer-to-peer,
yeah,
and kind of family members, or, yeah, you know, extended family members. So how do you monitor that? And the only way you can do that, as you correctly say, Tyler, is by conversation, and hoping you kind of, you know, you can monitor by listening in and overhearing conversations, because, you know, some of the content is quite distressing. And, you know, the rate of harms in the UK is going exponential, because unfortunately, you know, young people, maybe more so, I'm not totally convinced of that, are very easily influenced.
Yes.
And, you know,
I think those are really good points. And because I get this question from parents all the time. They ask, there's a lot of tools that kids use that I'm just not familiar with, like WeChat, Snapchat, Viber, GroupMe, TikTok, Discord, Vault, or other apps that are used to hide pictures or messages. Would you advise that they sit with their kids and go through the child's phone with them, saying, what does this app do? What does this app do? As, you know, you want to be involved? Or, and I mean,
I think there's kind of, it's really interesting that, because kind of some work I've done on this before, you can sort of classify, I'm going sideways a little bit, you can kind of classify parents into being kind of some that are totally digitally unaware, yeah? Some that are digitally aware, but are not kind of consistent. And maybe even myself, yeah, I kind of regard myself as being extremely digital aware, but often you just don't have the bandwidth to do it. Sometimes you're just working such long hours, yeah. You know what needs to be done, but you can't do it. So my kind of own strategy is to try and prime my children before we would even have that conversation. You know, I kind of tell them kind of stories of things that have happened online, things I've seen. Are they aware of it? And if I get them talking, they will kind of tell me stuff. You know, because I don't kind of go for the thing that I'm going to tell them off or anything. You know, I'd rather know about it and they told me about it, and then we can work it out together, which is kind of easier said than done, because I think long term that's the only way, because I can't manage the mobile phone when they're not at home, right. Can't manage their laptops when they're not about. Very, very, very difficult. Yeah. So it's kind of giving them that level of education without them feeling it's education.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of talk about these types of scenarios.
But also backing up a little bit, you know, we've got to start at a certain age, yeah, where, you know, like my kids, my daughter's younger than yours, right? Like she's 8 years old, yeah? So I'm controlling her laptop that I've given her. You know, we've had some tantrums. I've shut off the internet at certain times. I've restricted the usage. Yeah. I mean, you've been through it all. You know what it's like.
It's tough, yeah.
So I've taken that route, but I'm monitoring that remotely, because I don't, unfortunately, live with their mother anymore. So I have to remotely manage this. And the stuff that happens, I mean, the other day I said, okay, Maya, so I need you to do this. So she switched off her camera, right? So I had to remotely enable her camera.
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
We're on an 8-year-old's machine, yeah, right? With no assistance, just her and me.
Yeah.
And it was quite funny, actually. She I said, okay, Maya, so we use TeamViewer, you download it, and we can get it sorted. So I said, so what's the password, Maya? What's the user ID? She gives me the Zoom meeting number. She hadn't even opened the TeamViewer. So this is like an hour in, yeah. We're 40 minutes in, and I'm pulling my hair out. I'm going, is there something wrong with TeamViewer? I only use the free version. Like, are they trying to get money from me? Like, what's going on? I said, so where'd you get the meeting number, Maya? Oh, I got it from Zoom. I was like, I forgot, you're 8. What on earth is going on in my brain?
I mean, kids do pick this stuff up at a much faster rate than you would expect.
Yeah.
I know my kind of son's probably kind of quite advanced on this. I remember when he was 8, he kind of came and said, "Dad, I've set up my Facebook account." The thing about it is he didn't really know what Facebook was for, so he never ever used it. But it was just a challenge for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he accidentally, on his own laptop, one of the first ones he got, he put on parental controls. I didn't do it. He put them on by accident. They got hacked. Microsoft couldn't help him. So I probably shouldn't say this, but he kind of worked out how the DLLs worked and removed all the kind of background programming. So he got control. I said to him, rebuild it, it'd be quicker. But he spent 4 days figuring how it all worked.
Wow.
But you know, it is kind of difficult because, you know, to him, and it's a challenge to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And often when I visit companies now, I have to say, I kind of think in my mind, could a 12-year-old break in? And I have to say, most times out of 10, he probably could without any real effort. Because remember, when you and Tyler, I'm sure you're aware of this, you know, big companies, you know, they've paid me loads of money to help stop their staff get into trouble on the internet and do, you know, unfortunate things. Remember, staff are paid to do a good job in acceptable years. At home, you don't have that criteria. I mean, I'm not allowed to go to the school anymore. My wife won't let me. But they had a meeting training parents on cybersecurity, and they spent, because I've got two daughters, I kind of think a lot of the time you've got to get the balance right, because the physical world is still dangerous. It's not dangerous. And when they kind of go out when they're very young, kind of dressed like Beyonce, it kind of worries me as a kind of dad as well. Yeah. And the school never ever kind of said, you know, you shouldn't be dressing like, you know, Miley Cyrus or whatever. You know, you've got to be careful of your physical environment. And so I think I said something in one of the school meetings that I wasn't kind of sure them just purely concentrating on Facebook is really enough on IT security. So one of the mums started to have a go at me saying, "You don't know what your kids do on the your computers or laptops." And at that time I used to run exactly as I think you were doing that, kind of the kids spyware. And I said, "Actually I do." And I said, "I know what your kids do when they come around my house." And she was quite shocked. And cause you know what kids are like when they get on computers. It can be kind of interesting, but then you have the concept of, you know, bullying sort of in the real world. And I know I'm generalizing, can kind of be one-on-one, maybe 3-on-1. It's kind of relatively small scale, but when it gets on digital means, it has a massive force magnifier. So instead of being, you know, one person picking on somebody, you can get, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 people picking on one person. And then that becomes quite worrying as well. You know, this is on a scale where
there's a permanence issue with that too, that you have to talk with your children about.
Yeah, but then they also can take pictures. Like I don't know Tyler, or I was speaking to someone the other week, and they were basically like, I think it was you, we were talking about this the other week, I'm sure. And it was basically where a kid just gets a picture taken of them by an adult, right? So a screenshot. So they go, "Oh yeah, just take your top off or whatever," right? And then they take one picture, and then they use that picture to blackmail the child into giving them further images. And they say, "Oh, I'm going to show all your friends, da 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 da." But actually, it's a paedophile. It's not actually another kid, right? And so I think that the best thing is just talk to them. I mean, I told my daughter about this. I said, this is what's happening. She's smart enough to understand. Yeah. And I said, "Look, you know, I want you to be safe online. I'm not just putting this program on here." She hates what we're using it for. And whilst every feature doesn't work, I think it's actually a pretty good tool. It's 15 quid a year for the kids' protection. But the problem is you can't really do a good job of using it on Apple. I don't think it works too well with Apple, with older devices. So then you have to go "Oh, okay." So then you have to put a pin in, and you have to restrict things from the actual device level instead of from a remote level, you have to go in and do it on the device. And it's like, so you have to learn each device and each piece of software that they have, right? And what potential risks there are. And you're totally right, both of you, about messaging apps, you know, and even TikTok and stuff. I mean, my ex-wife, she's doing a great job of looking after TikTok, yeah?
Yeah.
Because the TikTok account's private.
Yeah, yeah.
She only accepts people she knows.
Yeah.
And on my TikTok account, I don't answer any messages I don't respond to any messages. I only have a TikTok account for her to use with me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can use the videos, but I make sure that if the video is used, that there's no picture of her face. No one can see her face. Yeah. On the internet. Right. At all. So that way she can't be actually targeted from
a really good.
Right. So that's the most important thing I do. And I don't want to respond to any messages on TikTok because I don't want to get involved with talking to any kids online. I don't care whose kids they are. I don't speak to them face to face. Why? I don't care if it's my daughter's cousin. I'm not going to message a 10-year-old. That's just weird, right? Like,
absolutely.
Even if they send me a message,
which then comes down to, you know, in the physical world, if we put our kids into a playground, you know, most playgrounds normally have a, you know, kind of rules, don't they? You know, any kids under a certain height or under a certain age are allowed to play in there. And it's fairly obvious as a parent if there's a kind of 45-year-old bloke kind of playing on the swings or whatever. It's very easy to see. So effectively, being the parent in the playground, you're able to do the alerting and monitoring very, very easily. When it's in digital world, it's very hard to do the monitoring, let alone the alerting. You know, because many of these things are not really designed for that type of monitoring or alerting, which is probably where most things are going to go. Because even if you have age-appropriate design, there could still be issues that, you know, you wouldn't put a young kid alone in the playground. So why would you put them alone in a digital environment? You know, there needs to be that level.
That's such a good point that both of you guys made. And that's, you know, really having a conversation. And when children are younger, I think it's much easier because you can sit with them and set things up and it's an easier conversation to have. And you guys are both right. There are a lot of great monitoring tools out there, and maybe they're not perfect, but taking kind of an onion level approach, saying, well, you know, if I do this, and, you know, also kind of coming up with some checklists for your kids on what to do if, you know, they're being bullied or what to do if they think someone is not who they say they are. Things like looking at exit data or other types of red flags that might be there. But
no, that's really good point.
Conversations easier with a young kid. So most parents are not as cyber savvy as you guys. And I just think about, it's almost impossible to keep up with everything. So what advice do you guys have for parents who, you know, maybe they have older kids or younger kids and they don't really know this landscape because it's just not something that they've taught them, that they've learned. You know, I've spent 20 years learning this. I'm sure you guys have spent, you know, quite a bit. So what are some things that they can do to help them become more comfortable with what their kids are doing online and who they're talking to?
Well, before David delivers his amazing information, because I know it will be groundbreaking, right?
Yes.
I really didn't know anything about cybersecurity for children until when was this? Probably a few months ago, yeah? Because, you know, I wasn't really involved too much, yeah? And so I actually just made an effort to, as soon as I was like involved, I made an effort to learn. And it was like, well, you know, I think you can learn anything you want. I think that if you really take the time, you Google, you can find out anything you want about this stuff. If you type into Google, you know, how do I secure my child online, right? On an Apple device, on a Google Chromebook or whatever device it is, you can find ways to at least help them to secure themselves. But this isn't just I'm going to help. This is a conversation between you and the kid as well. You have to involve them, include them in the risks and tell them what on earth could happen. My daughter, her friends laugh at Jean, yeah? And her friend's parents have no idea, right? Like, I think they even laugh. But the fact is that they need to take this.
Parents always think they know.
They need to take this seriously because they don't have a clue what their kids are doing online. They don't know what messaging they're getting. They don't know what apps they're using. Every application is a risk. Every single communication channel, every social media channel is another messaging app. Even Zoom is a messaging app. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I can't wait to hear what David's.
Yeah, what can
you do as a parent
to feel more comfortable
with what they're doing? Are there like three things that they can do easily aside from? And I agree with you, Nat, 100%. That no longer can we not really understand at least the basics of cybersecurity, because it impacts every single aspect of our lives. So that's something that as parents, you know, we can take the time to do. But what would you recommend, you know, for them to do now?
The kind of easiest things, if they can do it, is when you get the mobile phones, try and get a low data tariff, which kind of means that your child gets used to connecting to the home Wi-Fi whenever they can. Okay. So then you've got a bit of a control over that. Some of the ISPs do have a switch that you can put in a family safety option, which helps. It's not the be all and end all by any means, but it's definitely, you know, better than leaving it as it is. If you can kind of get secure DNS set up on their equipment, because then it's very unobtrusive. Yeah, it's changing the DNS to go to a secure DNS server. There's a lot of free ones out there that will prevent a lot of nasty sites. Not everything, but it's just another lower level, which is unobtrusive. And if some of the spyware doesn't work or whatever, that helps. And the thing that I also do is I try and have preemptive conversations. So I will kind of tell my kids about a scenario, because what will happen is something bad will happen and they'll think they're the only person this has ever happened to, and you can't win. So I kind of tell them stories about, you know, people that have had these problems and how they overcame them. So when they do get them, and luckily I haven't kind of seen too much of this, is that they will then come to me and say, you know that story you kind of told me where this guy was getting bullied by 100 people on WhatsApp and this is what he did? So I've kind of hopefully preempted any of their kind of fears that you won't understand it. I'm the only person in the world, that this has ever happened to. And by kind of getting that level of subtle education without mandating it, because mandating unfortunately doesn't kind of really work. And as you said, Nat, you know, 8, 9, 10, kind of there's only a little bit of peer pressure. Once they get their first mobile phone, when they go to secondary school, because they might get left outside the school for some strange reason, never happens, but there's always this fear that your child may not be picked up from school. They need a phone. You've got less and less control. The older they get, the less and less control. So it's kind of working more on the subtle influence until eventually, hopefully, you know, there's a lot of work being done in the UK that actually parents will have control, because at the moment they can only act in an advisory role. And that's really tough, because, you know, I was telling you this story earlier, you know, if you take the top 30 platforms, what can a parent do to influence any decision on there? Very, very little, maybe a couple of a few bits and pieces, but not many. And that's a real challenge. And also kind of keeping your eyes and ears open. You know, most parents, I don't know what it is. You kind of get eyes in the back of your head and a ninth sense you never even knew you had. You sometimes can pick up when things are not quite right. You can hear conversations on the phone, even a snippet of it. It doesn't kind of sound right. Tone of the voice is wrong, you know, and then maybe that's a kind of warning that something's not quite right. Very, very difficult for parents. There are kind of tech solutions. They work to some extent, but they're very difficult to kind of rely on and maintain and keep going at this moment in time. You know, I know some that appear to work. You know, I know parents who restrict everything on their kids to the nth degree, and I full well know from kind of other sources like my children, those kids are bypassing everything. You've still got to do the education bit, and you've still got to keep your eyes open. You've still got to have nine eyes in the back of your head and have that kind of feeling. Because, you know, as you were saying earlier, you know, it's very easy to kind of get that manipulation. You know, what is it? Frequency of contact, the type of content that's going on, all can be very, very dangerous.
I think also giving them an education of how to manage communications is very helpful. I mean, because sometimes my daughter, like, we'll be having a Zoom conversation and she gets a load of messages from her friends. And I'm like, no, Maya, you need to make them aware that you're busy working. And then they get angry because because she's busy, and then there's this emotional thing, and then there's the everyone's angry because no one talks to anyone, and then this one shouts at this one and blah blah blah. But the point is, it's like, look, you need to just say to them, let's arrange a time to call. Let's arrange this. Yeah. Mm. You wouldn't, you know, I hate my phone ringing when I, or whatever, if I'm busy, I hate it. Like I'm like, what's my phone ringing for? Yeah. And that's the same mentality I've got with channels as well. Like if people are bugging you, it just gets really annoying, and then it eats into your time, doesn't it? And that's what's important. They still need time to have fun and do what they want. Right. You know,
well, it's the kind of digital overload in the physical world. You know, if kids went out playing in the park, they'd kind of get tired, they'd be hungry or whatever. When it comes to the digital, it's on 24/7. And how do you kind of, you know, get people away from that, especially children, you know, have a break from permanently being online and getting that dopamine effect? Very, very kind of difficult to manage, because that's, as adults, we're probably the worst example most of the time. You know, we're kind of running multiple business interests, managing our social media, and it's incessant.
Actually, you just brought up a great point. So this isn't just about teaching kids how to be safe and teaching parents how to protect their kids, but there are times where sometimes parents are actually posting things about their kids that they may not think about that could come back and really haunt them.
There was that case, wasn't there? That GDPR case recently. Yeah.
So, you know, what advice do you have for parents in terms of monitoring what they post about their kids, where they post it, you know, making sure they have high privacy settings and they think about these things? What kind of advice?
Absolutely. And I think exactly what you said, you know, it's difficult to kind of control that information. And there's a social media platform, and I was doing some testing on my phone, and I used a VPN from a foreign country. I use Brave browser. Yeah. And I use DuckDuck search engine. And I still got adverts for this item I searched. And I thought, how did that happen? Then I realized that one of my social media apps has another very hidden setting. It's like three layers down that says it collects data outside the app. Great. You know, it's a very kind of tough thing to sort of manage. And parents do need to do that. I mean, I got asked by, I won't say who it was, kind of a big entity. And they kind of said, what about vulnerable adults? And a lot of the work I do is managing breaches. And I have to say that the breaches I come across are often caused by some of the most intelligent people we do business with, like accountants and lawyers, because for some reason they think it doesn't apply to them until they have that problem. And you go, I'm not sure who's vulnerable now. You know, we've got people here who can really look after themselves, but in the digital world, it all falls apart. It's quite incredible.
Yeah.
You know, how do you think that person knew the exact time to send that email to tell your client to change his bank account details? It wasn't luck that they got that within that hour. You know, that's not a random email. Someone's been monitoring your chain of emails to find the perfect timing to alter these files, do the spoofed email or whatever it is, business email compromise. You know, the timing is just too perfect. So quite often, you know, we see a lot of, you know, chief financial officers, anyone with those type of titles, they're number one target, because quite often they don't realize they are the target, and they're also vulnerable, but not in the same way.
Of course.
It's really interesting. So to some extent, we're all vulnerable. Yeah. I had a team working for me that did forensics, and one of the guy was a football fanatic, and he had these tickets for some football game, and he goes, oh, got these guys, and I don't know why, he showed me the email, and I said, the colors on this kind of this eBay, it doesn't look right to me, I don't know why. So he checked it and goes, oh yeah, it's not a real one, but the guy might still have the tickets. So he emailed him back, and the guy said he had got the tickets, but we're based in London, and he goes, but he was based in Dublin, and he said, you know, if you send him the money, he could come over to Dublin and pick him up. And I said, have you checked the address? And I don't know why I was saying this. So this guy does forensics all day long. He checked the address. It was Dublin bus station. And he goes, you know what? I could meet him at the bus station. I said, no, you're being scammed. But because his emotions were so tied up that he could get this football ticket, he was overlooking all the logic and all the rationality. Yeah. So, you know, it can happen to all of us. And that's the challenge.
We all need
looking after.
Yeah, it's a good point. But I think also, you know, if you're letting your kids use Google, you can set them up an account on Google. You need to know the password. You set up the account to go to your account for the password reset. So if you know if it's been reset,
make sure they have a good
password. Go into the back of that account, make sure that you've changed the settings so it can't track anything. There are no cookies stored on the machine. So then your kid is not being followed around the internet, not legally anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think things are changing. There's the Digital Services Act coming out in Europe that are going to regulate some of the platforms a little bit more. And I think, unfortunately, it needs legislation now because I don't think companies want to be the first mover to do what needs to be done.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I agree. It's very worrying, but I think we don't give our kids enough credit for being smart and intelligent enough to actually, you know, say, oh, this happened to me and go to your mum and dad. I mean, that's what they need to do, right? And, you know, they're intelligent enough, aren't they, to sense a change in someone's communication, perhaps, or, you know, like Tyler was saying earlier, really.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the burden is on the parent to kind of be the kind of surrounding safeguard, you know, for the time being anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think one of the things that sometimes we make mistakes that we make as security professionals is that we forget when we're doing security awareness training or when we're teaching people that this isn't their career. We assume that what they're learning, that if an attack happens, that this person is always at their best. And
most
people are not always at their best, especially right now. And, you know, predators, hackers are targeting kids and adults to get into business accounts. So what would you recommend that parents do to sort of take a step back if they're feeling overwhelmed? Like, what advice would you have other than that to really try to think about things when you're kind of in a bad state or a more concerned?
And I think that's right because I think you know, it's well known that kind of stress and worry, unfortunately, in the nicest possible way, can lower your thinking capability, which kind of means you're not necessarily working and firing on all cylinders. I think you can only kind of take one thing at a time and kind of, you know, just try and make things as safe as possible. And it is difficult. I mean, you know, I've spoken to mobile phone operators and I've said to them, you know, what do you do about child stuff? And they go, we don't sell to children. And I'm going, well, I've got 5 phones in my household and I certainly don't use them all. 3 go to children. And they go, well, we don't know that. And I think that's a little bit disingenuous. If I pay school fees, the child's not paying the school fees, but you've got to look after children. It's kind of doing what kind of needs to be done. And I think it is a challenge, and it's a challenge for schools. I've spoken to quite a few schools. They often spend, headmistresses and masters can often spend a day a week sorting out social media, gaming problems, and try and get them settled down in the school. So it is just going exponentially.
Yeah.
and I suppose the thing is, you know, being a dad, it's no point having a go at your children because all you'll do is stop them telling you the next time there's a problem. And unfortunately, that's what you need.
Yeah. So if someone wants to contact you to learn more, how would they do that?
Probably LinkedIn is the best place to get hold of me.
Okay.
And, you know, we have done, and I have done in association with a lot of companies, we've done a lot of child parent workshops, school workshops for schools, and, you know, try and work out a strategy, kind of what's best.
That sounds great.
So it's a great conversation. You know, it's a very difficult topic, and it's a big challenge.
I know that we could go on talking about all of these different challenges, you know, forever, because there just are so many. But you know, thank you so much for all of those points and those great topics, because I think we're leaving parents with some actionable items that they can actually use.
No, absolutely. And I think the main thing is keep it simple, because as you said, when things get complex, when you're tired, under pressure, they'll all get forgotten.
I can't believe I'm on a security thing, right? And my Wi-Fi went down. I'll definitely give away a copy of your book, Tyler, if anyone wants one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that'd be fantastic.
You can put that in the intro or the out the outro.
In the show notes, yeah.
Oof, sorry, the back thing.
Oh yeah, I know you've got that back. No, I'll drop that in the the show notes.
Thanks for listening. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections too. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thank you.